It's interesting when you meet somebody who has never genuinely heard the gospel, the good news. Now, they've heard bad news. They've heard religious news. They've heard all the do-nots. They've heard all the rumors. The stuff that religion does to people is brutal. But when people hear the good news, that Jesus died for them, that they have a chance to be forgiven, to be in God's family, one of the things they struggle with is this issue of, is this me? I've talked to people who would walk into a church like this and they'd look around and they go, oh man, this is not me. You go, really? Now, in this place right now, we've got multimillionaires, we've got ex-murderers, we've got people who are addicted and working on it. We've got people who don't believe in God, but they kind of like the fellowship. We've got people who've been serving God. Like, this church is the most eclectic group of people that you could ever imagine. And I love it. So when someone goes, ooh, this is not me, you know they're having an identity crisis, and they think the old addicted, drug addicted, porn addicted, partying, rough, tough, etc., that's the real them. All of us struggle with that too. We begin to identify with our problems. We begin to identify with sicknesses. We begin to identify with our financial bracket. We literally think that the way we were raised and the things that we struggle with us, that's the real us. But that's the fake you. And you need to remember that. And I've had so many conversations with guys. And let them, no, you don't get it. That's the fake you. Well, I can't be like everybody else here, these goody-two-shoes. You don't know anybody else here. You haven't got a clue where they work, what they do, how tough they are, or nothing. This is all in your head. The Bible says that you are made in the likeness and the image of God. You're not made in the likeness and the image of an addict. You're not made in the likeness and the image of a person who's fearful. You're not made in the likeness and the image of somebody who can't balance their emotions. You're not made. All of that is the fake you raised in a fallen world. You were created to literally be in the likeness and the image of God. And so if you haven't seen last week's message, and that one was preached out of Calgary, and it dealt with the fake you, I want to encourage you to go listen to that on YouTube. Just, Leon Fontaine Official, and go through it so that you begin to understand. It'll give you an amazing way to share with people that when you hear the good news and you give your life to Jesus Christ, you don't have to become a clone. Oh, now I have to dress like Leon, look like Leon, or I've got to dress like so-and-so, or I have to walk around and pretend I'm perfect. No, that's all in your head. We're not like that here. Everybody's so different, dresses different, looks different experiences, different places with God. But here's the issue. You've got to understand that the real you doesn't mean that you have a massive personality change, that you are not. No, this is the righteous you. The other was kind of the fallen you. This is like that lion that we often talk about, who's a little cub and his mama died, so he was raised by a poodle. And this lion grew up thinking he was a poodle. And so when he finally meets a pack of lions and he goes, this is not me. You feel better with poodles? But he does, because he's raised by poodles. And so there's inside of you, wherever you're trying to go with God, whatever you are trying to rise up and move towards, you need to recognize that that's the real you. The inability to produce results, that's the fake you. The ability to produce results is the real you. And so today I want to talk about this transformation that so few Christians pay attention to. And you are responsible for your emotional character development. Most people, the main reason they don't develop their life into who they really are, genuinely them is because they've never become deliberate about it. They just felt like my mom and dad taught me my morals. I go to church and God's changing me and I got to think differently and renew my mind. No, just a minute here. You literally need to decide who are you. And you literally need to decide and become deliberate about what kind of person do I want to be. Because you can have Jesus in your heart, be going to heaven, and still live like a twit. Still live like a self-centered, egotistical, narcissistic person. We all know some, not present company excluded. And so you must decide what person you want to be. And I do not mean in a very general way as a Christian. I mean in a very specific, unique, itemized way, you need to decide what person you're going to be. We just assume that the way we relate to others is good. Yet the way we relate to others, which is a reflection, by the way, of how we see ourselves. Every way that you relate to others is a reflection of how you see yourself. But it is the source of all relationship conflict. So it's the source of all your greatest stress. What? Your relationships, starting with God and everybody else. So our first reaction in any relationship conflict is to begin to point at others. We try to control them. Some of you through force, arguments. Others are passive aggressive. And so they'll use manipulation, rejection, silent treatments. We're continually trying in relationships to force the other person to adapt to what we want. Are you all with me or are you sleeping on me? Now, once you begin to feel forced to change, all right, you no longer are going to grow in love for the person that you feel forced by, that you feel manipulated by. And you will never have a godly peace in your heart if you are trying to force someone to change, trying to manipulate someone to your way of thinking. It goes against how God has made every individual an autonomous being. The second you try to force your will on someone else, you will move out of peace because your heart at the deepest level knows that true love is given, not manipulated, forced, etc. And so we live in a world where marriage, that's the biggest fight going on the planet. Marriage is usually until they grow up, marriage is a big old fight for control. And so we've got to make a decision that you want to change. You want to be, and when I say change, I don't mean just behavioral change, because behavioral change is external change. So I'm glad you're working on things on the external. But the greatest way for his yoke to be easy and his burden light is to start with that change internally. Which means that God's word begins to change you on the inside, not into what you're not, but into who you really are. You've not been who you really are before you gave your life to Christ. And if you've been raised in religion after you gave your life to Christ, you still aren't genuinely being you. Most guys think we all have to be passive and, oh, God bless you, praise the Lord, glory to God, hallelujah. No. You is you. You are genuinely you, just the righteous version of you. Can you imagine if we all had to dress the same, look the same, talk the same, be the same, same likes? Boring. But when you look across this huge audience and you go, look at the eclectic, unique talents and desires and gifts and things that God's placed in you. You know, so you do not have to become what you're not. But you do need to make a choice as to who is the real you. Or have you been thinking the fake you is the real you? Now, I had great parents. I'm the last guy that's able to complain about being raised, but I'll tell you right now, neither my mother nor my father nor Sally and I with our kids have the ability to raise God's kids, okay? We've all been raised in a poodle environment, and we're all like the Lion of Judah, made in the likeness and the image of God. And so it's crucial that you understand your identity and that you begin to believe and move towards who you genuinely are. Now, there's so many ways that I want to go, but I want to just stay at the beginning. I mean, the Bible teaches us that we put off and we put on. That we put off this fake you that's been raised in ultra shyness. In just misbeliefs about yourself, who you are in relationship to money, who you are in relationship to people and friendships, who you are in relationship to sex. I don't know where many of these misbeliefs or traumas or hurts rise up in your life, but you begin to think that this is genuinely you. And when you come to church, you're trying to become something. And in a way, the way people do this, they feel like they're trying to become what they're not. And even if you haven't thought this thing through, that's how you feel on the inside. Because you are trying to change your behavior without trying to change this on the inside, which is called, in God's word, transformation. Transformation is not, it's change, but it's a whole lot deeper. Transformation is helping you to identify who you genuinely are. When you begin to realize and have an aha about you, who you really are, all changes. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hebrews picks that up and it says, labor to enter the rest. That's a paradox. Labor to enter the rest. That means labor to discover who you are, focus on who you are, and as you get a revelation of this identity as to who you are in Christ, everything that needs changing on the outside becomes natural. It becomes easy because it's not being forced and dictated by you trying to change behavior. It's coming naturally out of what's in the inside of you. And so you have to want this transformation. You have to choose, this is who I am. And as you deliberately begin to say, genuinely, I am like Christ. That's who I am. And a lot of you haven't thought this through. You struggle and struggle and struggle. Some of you just with ultra shyness. Some of you with, you're just too angry and overbearing. You don't even like what you do. You may even see what you do after a number of years. But you're just, you're struggling and you don't know why, because you have allowed your identity to be attached to your poor behavior. Okay, am I making any sense to anybody? You are so quiet today. And if you want to feel this genuine, fulfilled, natural change that goes on, then you must decide, deliberately decide, who am I? And some of you are a fake. Now, I don't mean you act fake to me. I mean, you don't realize that what you've chosen as genuine is the fake. And that's why you live in this emotional unhappiness. You live in such stress. You see, when you're so conflicted that you've given your life to Christ And you are made in His likeness, His image, His emotional makeup, His spiritual makeup, even your body. He's got a body like ours. You are made to look and act and sound and feel like Him. Even the emotions and the thoughts of Christ. If you go to the Amplified Bible where it says in the New Testament, it says, we do not know the thoughts of God as to give Him direction, but we have the mind of Christ. And in the Amplified, it says, you have His emotions, His feelings, His purposes. Did you know that as you begin to focus on God's Word, it's not about, okay, I'm going to offend someone, or you're not going to, no. Okay, how am I saying that? It's not about you changing your behavior. It's about you identifying correctly with the real you. Because once you have this, aha, I am what? I am a child of the King of Kings. I am made in the likeness and the image of God. His presence is within me. I desire what is good. I'm the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I walk in the joy and the peace of God. I don't need the accolades of others because my significance comes. As you begin to deliberately focus on who you are, this emotional, the characteristics, et cetera, the value, if you focus on them, something powerfully changes. And if you do not, if you continue, and you might even agree with me in mental assent, but you've never thought this through, if you actually on the inside have adopted the old fallen ways that you used to do as genuine you, the Bible can become the most, what's the word? Frustrating book. Because to you, it's a book of rules as to what you need to be doing. But to a person who has their identity focused on Christ, and they know that the old me is the fake me, and this is the genuine me, it's simply to look at who they are. I have to heal the sick. And then the other guy goes, oh, I'm a healer of the sick because Jesus is within me. One person, oh, I have to give. And the other goes, I get to give, I'm going to prosper. That's who I am. You see, the Bible, especially from the cross and on, is an identity book. We've seen it as a task-oriented book. And so here, I've had people come up to me and go, could you just tell me what I can do and can't do at this church? So if I could just get the short list, I could make a decision. Like, can you drink, dance, chew, whatever. You know, whatever their list is, they just want to know my list. And I'm going, I think you're at the wrong church. I mean, we don't post a set of lists. And I find that I would rather have some of the things that externally people have. Like, I'd prefer a drunk and an addict any day to a gossip in the church, because a gossip can separate chief friends, and it doesn't say a drunk's going to do that. So people who have some behavioral thing others can see and judge, those things hardly even bother me, as much as sometimes these internal things where people can mess with things. So today I simply want you to understand that you need to make a decision. And this decision before you begin to change is, who am I? Who am I? Now, I'm going to address one more thing and my time is up. If you change away from who you are because of the manipulation of your spouse, you're going to destroy your marriage. If you change because someone else is trying to force you or manipulate you, you're going to discover that you begin to resent that. That's why, for example, when a husband or a wife, not a good example, it's a good example, Lord. If a husband is trying to get his wife to lose weight, or if a wife is trying to get her husband to lose weight, or pick on anything, and this is a forcing, it's not a, man, I love you, I'll always love you, let's get healthy together. There are so many ways to encourage one another, but once force or manipulation or passive aggressive or any way you can to make someone else change, and I think that if you love somebody, and that you need to. But we've got to be careful, because you're dealing with a person made in the likeness and the image of God. And you have no ability, no ability to make them change. The reason we are told to never touch the sliver in another man's eye is because we have a telephone pole in ours. Now, here's the thing. You know, if you begin to put your fingers into an eyeball with a real sliver in there, and let's say it's a piece of metal or a piece of, and you begin to irritate it, you can scratch the cornea, you can make a bigger mess than what's there. And that is almost always what takes place in relationships or between friends or married people when they try to force the other person to change. The other issue is that when we begin to try to force or bring change to somebody that we love, we take the place of Holy Spirit, who steps back and lets you go ahead. So we're going to be talking more about this, but you have to make a decision yourself that I want to change into that righteous version of me. I want to be genuinely me. And by the way, none of the genuine you can be found in your past misbehaviors. Well, I'm just a partier. Okay, cool. Because it was God that invented partying. Satan just took it astray. Make sure that you understand. Now, when you look into the book of James, and we'll cover this at a future message, it says that just like people look into a mirror and they see who they are, and once they put the mirror down, they forget. That's why some of you women will check your lipstick in the car mirror and in the windows of the church and in the bathroom and with your cell phone and with your lipstick mirror continually. We're forgetting. I looked at it. Is everything okay? And we go to look again. The Bible says that when you look into the perfect law of liberty, you will see who you are. And then it says, don't get up and forget. Recognize this is who I am. So in other words, who are we? Well, if you want to see your natural face, look in a mirror. If you want to see genuinely who you are at the core, look into God's word. Look into the liberty that is with the new covenant as a new covenant believer. And as you begin to study God's word, if you don't make this identity change, the Bible is hard. The Bible becomes something and more things I have to do and I have no ability to do that. But that's because your identity switch, there's only two toggles, either fake or genuine. And I don't mean that you're acting fake or that you present. I'm just saying that on the inside, you believe that the fake you is the real you. And as you go to God's word, it's going to show you that the real you isn't you when you change your behavior. It's you before you change your behavior. When you got saved, if you had a problem, with alcohol, you got a problem with it after. Yeah, we hear the odd miracle of when I got saved, everything changed. Good. Praise the Lord. But we must renew our mind, make our body a living sacrifice. We must begin to look at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We must begin to look into God's word and the teaching, especially from the cross and on for the first while, to see your identity. Then as you begin to identify, who am I? I'm like Jesus, made in his likeness and image. And then something will argue on the inside of you. Yeah, but you used to be maybe. No, stop. That was the fake you. And as you begin to decide today, that's the fake me. This is the real me. Something changes inside. And Bible reading becomes amazing. As you begin to say, this is who I am, this is who I am, this is who I am. You're not going, oh, this is what I have to do, and this is what I have to do, and this is what I have to do. No, it's your identity. And until you make this decision, you deeply will feel phony, unfulfilled. You will feel like you've been capped. You'll feel like, am I changing? Am I growing? And this is the decision you've got to make. Are you going to live out the fake you as the genuine you? Are you going to begin to move away from this fake you to the real you? Which is why when you read Romans chapter 12, verses 2, where it says that don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Conformed, transformed. It's talking about change, but not external change. It's talking about internal change. And when this internal change takes place, nothing can stop the external change. So, from now to next week, this is your assignment. Let's just make a decision that this week I'm going to continue to meditate on who am I and who am I genuinely. I am made in the likeness and the image of God. I'm created for joy. I'm created for relationship. I am created. Some of you have gone, well, you know I need friends, but that's not me. Nah! That's the fake you who thinks they don't need friends. You need to become the genuine you. It's just fear that is speaking to you. It's just bad things that have happened to you that have hurt you and traumatized you. You have some PTSD to deal with there, and that's just a fancy word that they've had, that the Bible's had brokenhearted all along. And as you make this decision, I just want you to get this one thing. Make this decision. Who am I? And genuinely know who you are according to Christ. And then this year will be the greatest year you have ever seen, because there's this confidence, a joy, a peace, an ability to let go and just enjoy life, because you're no longer trying to become what you're not. You are who you is, and you're just continuing to change in the details of being free from the stress of others, of being free from the anger and the junk that you're dealing with over here. And as you begin to follow and be transformed into His image from glory to glory, I'm changing myself. What's that old song we used to sing? From glory to glory, He's changing me. Corinthians, Holy Spirit in you are doing a stunning, phenomenal, incredible work. And you men who struggle with masculinity and, I'm just can't raise a hand, or if I go to church, and all these issues, move out of the fake you and discover real masculinity. For those who feel like, I want to be beautiful and look after, cool. Then see what real femininity is when you genuinely are made in the likeness and the image of God. Just lose all the lies. Recognize them as fake. And let's become. And when I say become, I don't mean becoming who you're not. I'm meaning specifically and individually looking at the fruits of the Spirit, looking at the love chapter, and saying, this is me. Not, well, I should work on that because that sure ain't me. No, this is me. And I'm just being who I am, becoming who I is, focusing on the genuine, looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith, as I continue to follow Him. And I promise you, all the years past that you've tried to bring change, that have plateaued you and made you frustrated and wonder, how come I can pray all I want and nothing changes? It's because you're praying wrong. You're trying to change the external when God's trying to take His word. Change the internal. Father, I pray today that the power of Jesus will become so real to us that we'd recognize that the greatest book of psychology this planet has ever seen, which goes a billion miles further, is the Bible. And that transformation is an incredible thing as Holy Spirit works with us. And as we look to your word to genuinely be who you've made us to be, I am speaking over every person here that, Father, this will be the greatest year they've ever seen, because when change takes place on the inside, nothing can stop it on the outside. So, Father, drive this deep. I pray they're going to be thinking and meditating on this, going through these notes or going over this message until there's an aha moment that's about to change the rest of their life. I pray this in the wonderful name of Jesus. And everybody in agreement said, amen and amen. God is good. Amen. I encourage you this year. Yeah, let's just get up and let's just be who He is.